Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Brady. Welcome to Transformation Church, and thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. We're diving into the second part of our sermon series, Nehemiah. But first, we'd like to take a few minutes and tell you about some things coming up for you and your family around Transformation Church. So check this out. Today, after each worship experience, our senior pastors Joe and Ruth will be in the cafe for a brief meet and greet. If you're new here, or if you've been coming just a few months, stop by and say hi. They'd love to meet you. September 25th is our next Water Baptism Sunday, and if you've made the decision to follow Jesus, this is your next step. Water baptisms will be held after our 11 a.m. worship experience, and you can sign up through the app or through tc.live/baptism. If you love TC, we have a serving opportunity for you. I Love My Church is a chance for you to come on out and show your love for TC through cleaning, organizing, and refreshing our campus. We'll be holding this event on Saturday, October 1st from 8:30 a.m. until noon. You can sign up through tc.live/events to get involved. Wednesday, October 5th starts our monthly nights of worship and prayer that we're calling First Wednesdays. We'll be coming together at 7 p.m. every first Wednesday of the month for worship and prayer. Join us on Wednesday, October 5th for our First Wednesday service. It's that time of year again. Trunk or Treat is on Monday, October 31st, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. We're collecting candy donations all through the week, and we're looking for transformers to host trunks. The brochure you received on the way in has everything you need to know about how to get involved, and you can even find more information at tc.live/trunkortreat. We can't wait to see you there. Once again, we'd like to thank you all for being here today and tuning in online this weekend. If you have questions about anything you've heard today, or if you just want to find out more about the church, be sure to connect with us at tc.live via our TC app and or sign up for our weekly email newsletter to stay up to date with everything happening here. We hope you have a great day and an awesome week.
Just joining us today. You might want to check out the TC app or go to our website and go to YouTube and watch the first sermon, sort of like an introductory sermon to this entire series. The question that I asked us all last week was this question here, is what is broken in your world? That's the question that I asked. I asked you that question. What is broken in your world? I want us to take a moment and think about what's broken. What's broken in your life? What's broken in the world that you live in? Maybe it's your spiritual life. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's your kids. Just go down the list and take a moment and think about those broken situations. And I ask you to go a step further, and I ask you to think about those broken situations that are breaking your heart. What is breaking your heart? What has your heart broken today? Maybe you've lost a family member. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've experienced a divorce. Maybe, I don't know, there's things that are broken. Maybe your soul is broken. Maybe your walk with God is broken. Maybe you've lost your passion. Maybe you've lost the fire. Maybe you've lost your desire. Maybe you've lost your love for God and love for the things of God. What is broken in your life? And that's what we're talking about today, because the book of Nehemiah is all about rebuilding what's broken. Rebuilding the broken walls in our lives. Rebuilding the broken world that is around us. And as we think about what's broken, as we think about the losses and the pain and the difficulties and the challenge, I have another question I want to ask you. And this is the question. What if in your darkest moments, there is an opportunity for God to do something new? Think about that. What if in the broken spaces and places in your life are actually an opportunity for God to bring great transformation, for God to do something beautiful, for God to do something incredible? What if those moments of heartbreak and tragedy and loss were actually an opportunity for God to step in and breathe new life into what appears dead. Today's message, part two in the sermon series, Nehemiah, is called Get Ready for the New. Get ready for the new. In 2016, I hit a wall. It was probably one of the darkest years I had, 2016. I've been running for over 20 years in life and ministry, serving Jesus, and I was diagnosed with burnout. I burnt out. And I functioned as a burnout for a long time, but then I got to a point that I couldn't function. I was doing too much. Actually, I was giving what I didn't possess. And I was pouring with an empty soul. I just want to tell you today that burnout is an epidemic right now. Burnout is at all-time epidemic levels. People are burning out. Some of you are on the verge of burnout. Some of you are burnt out. So I hope today's message will help you. And maybe you're not there yet. I hope that today you recognize the symptoms of burnout and you don't go there, because it is a dark place. I wanted to quit. Quit on ministry, quit on the church, quit on everything. I just wanted to escape. I wanted to leave. I just wanted to numb my pain. I just didn't know how to cope. I just felt full. I just felt overwhelmed. I just felt stressed all the time. I was always on the run. I wasn't present with my family. I wasn't present with those around me. I just couldn't think straight. I couldn't drive straight. I thought I had other illnesses and pain or medical issues. And it was the moment. It was my ground zero. When we talk about life and ministry, my life and ministry was my ground zero. And I had a choice. I had a choice to give in to my burnout. I had a choice to continue to act like everything was okay. I had a choice to move to Florida. I did. Because I thought maybe if I changed locations, things would be better. Or maybe if I changed scenery, things would be better. And maybe I change my church, things would be better. But I eventually came to a place that I needed to get help. So I reached out to a counselor. And the number one most important decision of my life was to schedule that appointment to see a counselor. It changed my life. Because then I began the journey, the rebuilding process of my life. And from that moment in 2016 till today, I can tell you, I am a new man. I'm a different man. God had to deconstruct me, because the way I was living was not good. And also, my spiritual practices were not sufficient to sustain the kind of life I was living. And that's where some of you are today. Your spiritual life is not sufficient to sustain what you're living, how you're living, what you're doing, how you serve, what you're pouring out. And it's so important that you understand that. But as I look back at 2016, my ground zero moment, I look at it as my darkest year, but I also look at it as the year that the rebuilding began, as my turning point year. Isn't that awesome? Because you could look at it as your darkest moment. You don't want to go there. But now I look at it as a year in which God began the rebuilding process in my life. And I've spent the past several years, I've allowed God to deconstruct me. Ground zero, my walls were broken, and rebuild me into something new, into something better. I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I'm the strongest I've ever been. I'm the most best looking I've ever been. I am the best. I absolutely believe I am living my best life. I say that every day to my wife. I'm like, can life get any better? Like, I'm living my best life. It's like amazing. The sun always shined, but now I see it. Y'all ain't ready for today. Y'all are just like, you're just numb. You're just like burnt out. You're exhausted. And something now is pricking your heart. Yeah, the sun was always shining, but I never saw it. It's amazing when you see the sunshine and you see the flowers blooming and you smell the roses for the first time. And you're like, wow, life is beautiful. Life is wonderful. Because God is beautiful. God is wonderful. And I began to change my spiritual practices. That's what I've been teaching for 4 or 5 years now. Emotionally healthy spirituality, practicing silence and solitude, practicing Sabbath. By the way, today is your Sabbath. Today is your day in which you unplug from your phones. You unplug from your computers. You unplug from work. And you go into nature and you go into life and you rest. I discovered Sabbath. I discovered silence and solitude. I discover sacred practices and sacred rhythms that are absolutely transforming my life. God has changed my life. God has rebuilt my life. And he wants to rebuild yours. And as we look at our lives, perhaps there are areas that need to be rebuilt. Perhaps there are areas that need to grow stronger. Perhaps we just need to stop and recognize that things are broken. And that's where new life begins, because a broken heart is a catalyst to rebuilding those broken places in our lives. Y'all with me today? Come on, church. Y'all with me? So what's beautiful is that if we allow God to rebuild us, he rebuilds us into something new and something better. And that's what I believe we're experiencing here at our church, because 2020 was our ground zero moment here at TC. It is. It was ground zero. It was a tough season for all of us, and I believe it impacted all of you mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I was talking to a pastor, Risa, this last week, telling him the series we were in, what God was saying to my heart. He says, Joe, stop. He says, what you're saying about rebuilding your church is not just your church. This is what he said. It's every church everywhere. That put it in perspective for me. I'm like, oh, now I understand why God is speaking this to my spirit. It's every place, everywhere that needs to be rebuilt. Everywhere. Powerful. Isn't that powerful? So we are beginning a rebuilding season. And the verse that I really hold on to and cling to, which is the kind of like the verse where I got the message from, is Isaiah 43:19 in the New Living Translation. He says this, for I am about to do something new. Get ready for the new, church. And I love this second part. He says, see, I have already begun. He says, I'm about to, but then he says, it already started. What I see in that is God's about to do something new in your midst, in our midst, but he has already started the process. God is about to do something new in your life. God's about to do something new in your family, something in your home, something new in your church, something new in the community. And the scripture says, look, I have done it. It's already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Isn't that beautiful? I will do. This is what I will do. I will send the wind. I will send the rain. I will pour out my spirit. I will do what I've promised, because I am coming from a power. I'm coming for a powerful church. I'm coming for a strong church. I'm not coming for a weak church. I'm coming for a powerful people, a people who are on fire, people who are passionate, a people who are filled, a people who love me, people who are head over heels for me. I am coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Perhaps in the darkest moment of our lives, there is an opportunity for a fresh start, a new beginning, a chance to rebuild, and a chance for God to do something new, perhaps. And that's what I believe. I believe as we look at our church and the gaps we have in our church, I believe, and it's okay, I'm going to talk about it, because it's important that you understand that we're not the same church. We're not the same congregation. We're different. There are gaps. But I believe as we look at the gaps, as we see the gaps, as we see the areas that we need to be rebuilt, what I see is an opportunity for God to do something new. So instead of looking back and saying, oh, I wish it was the way it was, why don't we look forward ahead and say, God, do something new that's better. Make us stronger. Make us more powerful. Make us more effective. And that's what Nehemiah is all about. So Nehemiah, you know, he started with a burden. And I just, if you're just joining us, real quick recap, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. We're going back to 445 BC. The walls had been ruined for over 140 years. There was a remnant that returned, a small group of people that returned to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah gets word from family members and friends about the walls. And it says, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Then he says, when he heard these things, he sat down and wept. I said last week that the way to begin the rebuilding process is to really recognize what needs to be rebuilt. Sit down, take an inventory, and weep. Weep. Ask God to break your heart. And that was the 52-day prayer challenge, which I said to you. I said, pray this for 52 days, every day. God, break my heart with what breaks yours. God, break my heart with what breaks yours. Because a broken heart is a catalyst to rebuild those broken places and spaces in our life. Why was Nehemiah heartbroken? Nehemiah, why was he weeping? Why was he heartbroken? Why was Nehemiah weeping? Why was he crying? Because he cared. He cared. He had powerful passion. I wonder how many have just taken a moment just to step back and cried over the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ today. New statistics are out. They're not good for the Church of Jesus Christ. People are attending church less and less and less nationally. And in about 10 years, I think it was, I forget the year, maybe it was 2030, I forget the year. In a few more years, Christianity will be the minority in the United States of America. We are a full-fledged train ride to being a post-Christian society. You say, Pastor, well, how do you know? Just look around you. Look at the seats. Look at the empty seats. Can I speak truth to you today? Look at the empty seats. Come on, somebody. Because if we really were a Christian nation, a Christian society, people would be in church this morning. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Reason why the seats are empty is because people have lost the passion. They've lost the fire. They've lost the understanding of what it means to be a Christ follower. Come on, somebody. You don't have to come back. That's okay. 1,000 people didn't come back already, this post-2020. Isn't that true, though? Think about it. I'm going to speak in truth and love because the truth is we are one generation away of being a society that does not know Jesus. That's what happened in Judges. That's why God had to raise up the judges, because Joshua did mighty things for God, but the next generation did not know Christ. And my question is not whether or not you're in church or not, because you're here today, but my question or not is, where are the kids? Where'd all the kids go? Where are the children? Where are the youth? Where are the children? There are over 100 less children that come a week to church. Where are the kids' parents? Can I get a little righteous anger? Where are they? This is not to shame anyone. It's just to wake us up. Because we're raising a generation, you know what we do? We farmed out the values to television. We farmed out values to the media and to Hollywood and to sports entertainers. And we're allowing, that's why all this stuff is in the way. That's why I don't like all this stuff here. But we're allowing culture to raise our kids. And now coming to church for an hour is just too much. because I'm busy. I got things to do. I got to go to the mall. I got to go to Walmart. I got to bring my kids to practice. I got to bring them to sports. Listen, your kid ain't going to be no professional. Raise them to be a professional Christ follower, and everything else will fall together. Come on, somebody. I feel like preaching today. I feel like preaching this morning. Because it's time we rebuild the church. It's time to rebuild the walls. And we recognize what's real. Can I say what I really think? I didn't raise my sons to follow their dreams. It's a lie from culture. Culture will tell you, raise your kid to follow their dreams. I said, boys, don't follow your dreams. Follow the purposes of God. Follow the will of God. Follow God's plan. Follow God's purpose. Follow God's destiny. Follow what God has for your life. Because when you follow God's plan, you will fulfill your dreams. It's true. We got it all screwed up in our brains and our lives and our culture. And we wonder why we have so much ungodliness. We wonder why. We wonder why there's such a mess. Why we're such a mess. It's time to rebuild. How many know that? God, put that next slide. God, break my heart with what breaks yours. Break my heart. I'm not talking legalism. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about raising and training your child in the way that they should go. And then when they grow older, they will not depart from it. That's the word. See, the next slide, put it up there. It says a broken heart is the catalyst to rebuilding what's broken. And if we're going to rebuild what's broken, we have to care the most. Why did Nehemiah weep? Because he cared the most. Cared the most. Good to see you, girls. Cared the most, right? I wonder if you care the most. We care the most. Do we care the most about Transformation Church? Do we care for this house? Do we care for the local church? Do we care the most for God's church? Oh, come on. Don't be quiet on me. I understand it's a tough. Do you feel like the tension? Like, this is tough because this is an hour to be serious and to understand that the stakes are high. How many are hearing me today? And if nobody, you know why churches close? Because people stopped caring. And the moment we stop caring, it's the moment that we're on a downward path of deconstruction. It's the truth. And we're going to fulfill the purposes of God. We've got to care the most about God's house. We got to care for this house. We got to care. I care for this place. I love this place. Because this is God's house. This is where lives are changed. This is a place where we fulfill our purposes, where we're a place where we hear the preaching of God's word, where we receive the faith of God embedded in our souls, that we receive the seeds that are planted in our lives. I care the most. Why is caring so important? Because this next one is your passion will fuel your purpose. Show me your passion. And I'll show you your purpose. It's true. Passion. Gotta have passion, right? Passion. Passion for the things of God. Passion for the purposes of God. Passion for the will of God. Passion to fulfill God's plan for my life. Passion. Desire. God, break my heart with what breaks yours is a prayer of passion. Because listen to this. Listen. Woo, this is getting better. The only organization that will be around 1,000 years from now is the church. It's been here for 2,000 years. IBM, Apple will not be here 1,000 years from now. I just want to tell you. Kmart, we thought we were, you know, Walmart, Sears, JCPenney, they're all God. We, Sears can, like, come on. I remember Caldors growing up. Oh my God, Caldors. I remember Lloyd's. If you're from Middletown, you remember Lloyd's, the first supercenter. It ain't here. This, the organization you belong to will not be here, but the church. Jesus said, I'm building my church. I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church has the power to withstand anything that the society can throw at it. The church has the power to withstand persecution. The church has the power to withstand wars. The church has the power to withstand communism. The church has the power to withstand a pandemic. The church will never die. The church will always live. Jesus said, I'm going to build it. Now I know why I wanted to preach with this thing, because I feel like I'm preaching old school today. Right? I feel like old school today. Is that all right? Old school shouting, spitting pastor. I didn't plan it. It's just how it's coming out. It's just, I just feel it in my soul. It's the church. It's the church. Here's another news flash. The church, Transformation Church, has been here longer than Starbucks. Transformation Church has been here longer than Apple. Transformation Church has been here longer than all these other companies, organizations. And I truly believe the question is, will Transformation Church continue to outlast, to be here for the next generation? Or are we just going to sit back and just allow other people and not and care the least and let other people do it? No, we got to care the most. Newsflash. I'm doing not a lot of news flashes today. I ain't going to be here forever. I'm 50. I'm almost done. I mean, what's next? 60? And I, by 60, I just want to be in my rocker, just looking at the deer. All right. I know. I mean, Phyllis keeps me young. Sister Phyllis Perez, she keeps me young. She's like, oh my goodness, I want to be like her when I'm her age. Always on the go. Our longest standing member is Phyllis, 50 plus years. But my point is, none of us are going to be here forever, but will the church be here? You see, you don't have to be the most, be the best. You just have to care the most. You have to care the most. You have to care the most. I'm already out of time, but Nehemiah didn't have a powerful position, but he had a powerful passion. We're going to rebuild a broken world. We have to care the most. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1, real quick. In the month of Nisan, by the way, the first in chapter 1 opens with Kislev. This one he opens with Nisan, indicating there's a four-month period of time. By the time he had the vision and the burden to the time he approached the king. And why is that sometimes? Because God wanted the burden to be written on his heart before he wrote it on paper, before it was shared with others. And here in the month of Nisan, he goes to the king. When wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. And this is so important to understand that, number two, that if we're going to rebuild what's broken, we have to pray, plan, and practice patience. We have to pray. There was a season of Nehemiah praying, planning, but also being patient. To rebuild patience, it takes time to rebuild your home. It takes time to rebuild your marriage. It takes time to rebuild your life. I would say it took me 3 years before I felt kind of normal. It took me time to rebuild my life. It takes time to rebuild a church and an organization. It takes time, but we have to pray. Pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on us. And be patient and allow God to fulfill his purposes in the process. Patience, patience, patience. You got to be patient in the process. We got to be patient with one another. We got to be patient with our church. We got to be patient with your loved ones. You got to be patient with your family. Just be patient. Just because you went to marriage counseling once doesn't mean that it's going to get fixed. It takes time. right? It takes time. Just because you go to a counselor a few times doesn't mean it's going to get fixed. It takes time. You got to be patient in the process. And Nehemiah was patient. He waited. He allowed God to burn in his heart the burden that he had. Let's go. For the sake of time, let's jump to verse 5. Well, I'm just going to read this. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look sad? You are not ill. This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Verse 4, the king said to me, what is it that you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and your servant has found favor in his sight," what does he say? "Send me." This is so important that you are the solution to what's broken. We are the solution. If God was going to rebuild Jerusalem, he wasn't going to do it with a command from heaven. He wasn't going to pick up the rocks and rebuild the walls. He used people. People like you and me. People, ordinary people, to accomplish something extraordinary. That's why Nehemiah said, if you're going to rebuild, he didn't sit back in his prayer room. He said, "Send me. I'll do it. I'll put my hand to the plow. I'll get myself a little dirty. I'll work. I'll make the time." And he says, "I'll rebuild it." Then verse 6 says, then the king, the queen sitting beside him, asked him, "How long will your journey take and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set up time. Verse 7, I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors in Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy." Nehemiah asks, big asks, because Nehemiah had big ask faith. And he asked for time off. He asked for resources. He asked for the favor of the king. He asked for safety. Remember, this is a pagan king. And Nehemiah 2:8, notice what it says, the second part of this verse. And because the gracious hand of God, my God, was on me, the king granted my request. The gracious hand of God is all I ever pray. That God, your hand would be on my life. God, may your hand be on my boys. God, may your hand be upon my family. God, may your hand be upon my church. Think about that. Think about that. The hand of God. The gracious hand of God. Leads me to this point. Why was God's gracious hand upon Nehemiah? And it says it here. That next slide. When we carry God's heart, we will be covered by God's hand. The reason why TC has made it through these past 2 years, it's not because of the great leadership of your pastors. It's because the hand of God is on this house. The reason why I didn't quit and give up when I felt like I should so many times in the past and throughout the years is because the hand of God was on my life. We carry God's heart for this community. We're a church that carries the heart of God. leading people far from God into a transforming relationship with Him. That is the heart of God. And because we carry His heart, He covers us with His hand. The question is, are you carrying the heart of God? Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. The hand of God. If we have the hand of God, no one could stop us. If you have the hand of God on your life, no one could stop you. Not the hand of God represents the presence of God. It represents the favor of God. It represents the fight of God. It represents the goodness of God. All we need is to walk with the hand of God. All you need is God's hand on your life, the touch of God. Do you know how to get the hand of God on your life? Carry the heart of God. Break my heart, Jesus. Carry your heart. Your heart for the lost city. So in verse 17, I'll summarize as we're out of time. He shares what he felt. Now he goes back to Jerusalem. There's the remnant there, a small group of people. And this is what he sees and says. He says, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild. Come, let us rebuild. My invitation for you is come, let's rebuild. And verse 18, but he also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king has said to me. And what was their reply? Let us start rebuilding. Leads me to this last point. If we're going to rebuild what's broken, we have to give our time, our talent, and our treasure. There's no way around it. You got to give your time. Nehemiah didn't rebuild the wall. If you read chapter 3, families came and they rebuilt different gates. There were several gates, the sheep gate and the different gates. They were rebuilt. Families came to rebuild. If we're going to rebuild what's broken, it's going to take a concerted effort of all of us in which we say, God, use me. I'm here. I'm willing to give my time, my talent. They had skills. They had expertise. Nehemiah, he was just a cupbearer. He didn't know how to build. He didn't know how to lay stone. He didn't know how to build a wall. He just had the heart to build. The hand of God was on him. And because God's hand was on him, God brought the people around him. And I just want to tell you that in this room and those joining us later on and those watching are people who have been gifted and talented for a divine purpose. The reason why you've been gifted the way you've been gifted is to first use your giftings and purposes for the purposes of God. God, I want to build your kingdom, not just in the building, but outside the building. I want to build your kingdom until you come. Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. How are we going to rebuild? We got to care the most. We got to be patient in the process. And we got to be willing to give our time, talent, and treasure.